The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
I really feel we have to examine correlating or corresponding psukim to really have a sense of what's going on. So we're really going to be jumping from pasuk to pasuk, and just methodologically is an important thing to do, that whenever you're learning the Chumash, you want to compare psukim that are similar in direction. So the fundamental theme of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the fundamental theme of the Jewish people getting out of Egypt, is the manifestation of Ani Hashem, the manifestation of God as I am God, I am Yud Kei Vav Kei, and also as I am Yud Kei Vav Kei Elokeichem. Okay? Those are the fundamental names that are being revealed in these scenes. And what is the significance of Ani Hashem or Ani Hashem Elokeichem? The significance of it thematically is, number one, the demonstration of divine unconditional love for the Jewish people. Number two, the eternal relationship and identification of God with the Jews. Number three, God's individual supervision of the Jewish people, Hashkacha Pratit. Number four, the manifestation of the Jewish people as God's Tzva'ot, as God's hosts. And number five, the clarification that the Jewish people are the conduit to blessing in the world, in contrast to Pharaoh, who thinks he is the conduit of blessing in the world. So those are like those are the five major implications that I can see, anyways, in the expression of Ani Hashem Elokeichem, and these stories of Shmot, Vayera, and Bo are all expressions of that. Right? They are all expressions of that. Okay. We also have to appreciate that this is all accomplished through the plagues in two ways. Number one, in the plagues expressing the paradoxical unity of God, that each plague simultaneously is an expression of God as an Elohim, relating to the Egyptians through the attribute of judgment according to what you deserve, and yet also the expression of God as a Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is unconditional love, overriding the attribute of din, and relating to people, the Jewish people, not based on their merit. So it's a paradox. I mean, either you relate to the world through din, according to what people deserve, or you relate to people not according to din, according to love, and not according to what they deserve. And yet, even though the Jewish people do not deserve to be redeemed, they are being redeemed. And the Egyptians deserve to be punished, and they're being punished. So, number one, the plagues are expressing the unity of the paradox of God, and or the paradoxical unity of God. And number two, the plagues are an ongoing clarification of the identity of the Jewish people, which is one of the things that we're going to try and see today also, which is this reoccurring theme, if you read carefully, of separating the Jews out of the Egyptians, right? Which comes to its climax at the killing of the firstborn, where all these Jews are in their houses and they have blood on their doorposts, and God is, so to speak, going into Egypt and jumping over their houses. You know, what does that mean? Right? That God is jumping over Jewish houses. Isn't there a more impressive way of killing off all the firstborns, that God himself is going in and skipping over houses? But that itself is the greatest expression of the Hashkacha Pratit, the individualized supervision that is being expressed here, in God's, so to speak, personal relationship and identification with individual Jews. Right? And even though, as the oral tradition says, even if there was an Egyptian hiding in the house of a Jew, then the Egyptian would die, the Jew would not. Okay? It was like that specific. Okay? And each step in the plague process is more and more specifying the Jews, isolating them, singling them out, and putting them in a position where they become the direct people of relationship to God, enjoying that kind of specific supervision which transcends even judgment. Okay? That's like the ongoing theme throughout this whole process. Now, we also have to appreciate that it is a process. I mean, certainly if God wanted to punish the Egyptians and take the Jews out, then snap the fingers, boom, and that would be the end of it. Well, why does it have to be 10 plagues? Right? Why couldn't it simply be one plague? And it's the same question we ask in relationship to creation. Why does creation have to be 10 utterances, 10 statements? Why couldn't it be one statement and boom, the world is created? Well, we have to appreciate that this is also a creation story. Right? The Jewish people getting out of Egypt, the Ani Hashem, is the creation of the world, right? But a new dimension of the world, because we've seen the world created Ani Elohim. The world was created through the name Elohim, which is an expression of judgment, right? Rules. And the world is basically the world of nature, is a world of rules, of laws, okay? But this is the introduction of a new dimension to the world, which is a world which is a function of Ani Hashem, which is, I can go beyond the rules for you, right? Because what's more important is our relationship, not the rules, okay? So therefore, whereas creation is an expression of Ani Elohim, you might say, the plagues is a whole new dimension, a whole new expression of the meaning of creation, but a creation which is now an expression of Ani Hashem, which is a world which a person can live in that transcends the world of rules and laws, right? And is a function of the will of God in His unconditional love for the Jewish people. That's what this whole story is all about. So in order to see these themes that I'm just introducing over here, I first want to examine psukim that express the divine intention and the expected revelation that's about to happen. So we start in chapter 3, verse 18. So this is basically the first statement that God is telling Moshe He will say to Pharaoh. And therefore it's crucial. So what is the point of this whole story? Right, what is going to be revealed in this whole story to Pharaoh and the Jewish people? So this is chapter 3, verse 18. Vishamu lekolecha ubata ata v'ziknei Yisrael el melech Mitzrayim. And they will listen to your voice. And you've come. You and the elders of Israel will come to the king of Egypt, va'amartem alav, and you will say to him, Hashem Elokei ha'ivrim, nikra aleinu. God, the God of the Jews, has appeared to us. Vata nilcha na derech shloshet yamin b'midbar v'nizbecha v'Hashem Elokeinu. Let us go and bring an offering to our God. Okay? V'ani yadati ki lo yiten etchem elok Mitzrayim. And I know that He will not let you go, and this is in order to show that I should hit Egypt with all my niflotai. Okay? I'm going to reveal my pella. Okay, now we skip over to chapter 5, verse 1. In other words, these are all statements that are being made to Pharaoh, or about what Pharaoh is going to know. Okay? So chapter 5, verse 1. V'achar ba'u Moshe v'aron v'yomri al paro, ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, shalach et ami v'yachogu li b'midbar. So there's something new introduced over here. What's new is that the Jewish people, not only the God of the Ivrim, right, but now it's the God of Israel. Okay? It's a higher level of revelation that's going to happen over here. And with each plague, Pharaoh is ready to know more about God and about the meaning of God's relationship to the Jewish people. So at this point, they're saying, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, and Shlachet Ami, my nation, V'yachguli B'midbar, and they will celebrate for me in the desert. Now, Pharaoh's response to that, and this is the first time we have Pharaoh's response, V'yomer Pharaoh mi Hashem, who is Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, Asher Eshma B'Kolo, that I should listen to his voice, L'shalach et Yisrael, lo yedati et Hashem, v'gam et Yisrael lo eshalach. I have to understand that one of the fundamental ideas is that Pharaoh sees himself as a god. And when it says that Pharaoh forgot there was a new king that didn't remember Yosef, what is it that he didn't remember? What is it that Yosef represented about the Jewish people? Yosef was the mashbir, right? He was the source of blessing to the Egyptians. And it says over there that Pharaoh's forgotten Yosef, who represents the fact that a Jew is the source of blessing into the world. And then he says about the Jewish people, this people, atzmu mimenu, they have become greater from us. And we mentioned when we learned those psukim that this correlates to what Avimelech said about Yitzchak. Atzamta mimenu. You have become great from me. Don't you realize I'm the source of blessing in the world and you are draining me, right? You're not the source. So the new king forgot that the Jews were the source of blessing to Egypt, and that really, Pharaoh is the source of blessing to Egypt, and the Jews should serve him, and therefore he instructed a slow process of Jewish servitude to him. Because he is the source of, he is the conduit to blessing in the world. He sees himself as God. So now, here they're coming and say, let us go. Let us go serve our God. Now this is, you have to understand, it's not like, serve our God. This is a fundamental challenge to his position. Because until now, he sees them serving him. Right? And for them to say, no, we're going to serve someone higher than you. Right? And ultimately that implies, and you too benefit from that. Right? Because this is someone higher than you. And our service of God brings God into the world, so to speak. So this is something he cannot accept. He said, I've never heard of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, and why should I let the people go? Right? They should be serving me. Not this God that you're claiming is supreme over me, and they should be serving beyond me. Okay. Anyways, they say, no, the God of the Hebrews has sent us, and let us go Nizbacha L'Hashem Elokeinu. Okay? Now, the interesting thing is that they've started off not saying, let us go serve God, but let us nizbacha l'Hashem. Let us bring an offering to our God. Very important that they start off saying that we're going to go celebrate to our God, and we're going to bring a zevach, an offering to our God. Right? And he's not even willing to do that. But you have to understand, with each step, the Moshe is instructed to say even more and more and more, as Pharaoh is continuing to challenge, right, the supremacy of God and to try and maintain his position as God. Well, the other ones we can skip, but later on in chapter 7, verse 5, it says, V'yidu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem, which is the fundamental principle, that they will know that I am God. But now let's go to 7:17. Chapter 7:17. But if you're writing notes, put in 7:5 also, because if you want to see this and go over this, just to see the development, what's going on, and have a handle on it, you'll want to look at that too. So chapter 7, verse 5, and then chapter 7, verse 16. V'amarta lav Hashem Elokei ha'ivrim, tell them that the God of the Hebrew shalchani alecha leimor shalach et ami v'yavduni. Now this is new. Right? Until now, they have not said v'yavduni, compare all the psukim. Until now, Moshe has come to say, send my people out. Send them to bring an offering. Send them to bring a to do a celebration. Right? But to now go further and say v'yavduni, and that you serve me, is an even more direct challenge to Pharaoh's position. 17. Komar Hashem bezot teida ki ani Hashem. And in that you will know that I am God. And I would say within the context of this, and you are not God. Okay? 7:26 is the same idea. They should go and serve me. Right? Ko amar Hashem, shalach et ami v'yavduni. Then we go over to chapter 8, verse 6. Now I want you to stand before we go on, because like there's two things that are happening here, but I didn't want to confuse them. But just look at verse 4 of chapter 8. Because what was just told to Pharaoh is, send my people and they will serve me. In contrast to serving you, it was one thing to say they will bring an offering. No, it's not the major challenge to Pharaoh's position, or bring an offering. But to say they will serve me is already a statement that you are not God, right? And they should serve me. And they will be the conduit to my blessing in the world. By saying that the Jewish people serve God, it means that they serve God in His manifestation in the world. Right? To say the Jewish people bring an offering, that doesn't mean anything about the Jewish people. I mean something about the supremacy of God, or the specialness of this new God that Pharaoh is being introduced. But to now go a step further and say they will serve me, that means that they will serve me, not you, right? And that they will be the conduit of blessing, of my blessing in the world, not you. Okay, so that's an additional challenge to his position. But so what does he say to that? They just said, send them and they will serve me, but he says in verse 4, Vikra Paro le Moshe l'Aaron, V'yomer tir el Hashem, pray to God, V'yaser spardim mimenu u'me'ami v'ashlecha et ha'am v'yizbechu l'Hashem. Right? Pray this God, and I will send the people and they will bring an offering to God, not serve God. Right? He's behind the times. He's prepared at this point to say, okay, you can offer. Right? He's still not at the point where he's willing to say, and you can serve God. Okay. Anyways, Moshe says, okay, when would you like me to pray? Okay. So he says, well, get rid of these frogs tomorrow morning. And of course the question is, I mean, if you don't like these frogs, then why not now? Why tomorrow morning? Well, the truth is that Pharaoh is testing Moshe to see whether he does have this direct contact with God. And for Moshe to say, when exactly would you like me to do this? And he says, I want you for tomorrow. And he says, yes, you will know. So look at verse 6, chapter 8, verse 6. V'yomer l'machar v'yomer kidvarech, like your words, l'man teida, in order for you to know, ki ein kashem elokeinu. Now what's new for Pharaoh? Right? Before he was telling him, you know, tell him that God, the God of the Hebrews, has happened upon us and we are going to go offer. And we're going to go out and celebrate. But now we're going to go out and I am God and they are going to serve me. This is an ongoing process introducing the supremacy of God. The fact that the Jewish people are the conduit to blessing because they are the servants of God. Right? Ultimately host the Sva'ot of God. And that God directly responds to the Jewish people. Okay? By Moshe saying, when would you like me to pray for this? And he says, tomorrow morning. That was the test. Right? It's one thing to serve God, but is God going to serve these people? Right? Is God going to relate to these people? And so he said, and so Moshe said, I will do this. I will pray to get rid of these frogs tomorrow morning, so you will know that there is none like God our God. That God is not only supreme, but that God responds to the Jews. Okay? It's a whole new realization for Pharaoh, a whole new expression of the position of the Jewish people. Because every one of these plagues is the development of the Jewish people. Not only the destruction and the oppression of the enemies, right? Much more than that. Every plague is a new step forward in who the Jewish people are and what is their position in relationship to God and what is the meaning of God in relationship to the world. Right? And this is creation. Right? This is not simply, you know, taking Jews out. This is the creation of the world, which is an expression of God as Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Okay, so Moshe gets out and we have a very powerful pasuk in number 9. V'yas Hashem kidvar Moshe. And I don't know anywhere in the Chumash until now that we have a pasuk like this. And God did according to Moses' word. I mean, you know, say that God answered prayers and things like that, that's one thing. But V'yas Hashem kidvar Moshe. Right? And you should know that the word devar means what? What is a devar? In contrast to an amira, you know. Dibur, instead of a amar, imur, whatever. Amira. What's the difference? It's a major difference, because a dibur is like a decree. A dibur is much harsher. And that's exactly what he does. It says that Moshe went out and screamed to God. And why did he scream to God? Because the commentaries say, because this was his idea. Right? God didn't say and tell him that whenever you'd like me to pray for you, I'll get rid of it. There was no, that was not the instruction of Moshe. This was an innovation of Moshe to say, when would you like me to get rid of these frogs? Right? Just name the time and I will do it to show you that there is none like God, our God. Right? That we serve God and God relates to us. And we are the conduit for the manifestation of God's will in the world. Right? Okay, so this is a new step in the revelation to Pharaoh in the meaning of the Jewish people's position in relation to God and God's relation to the Jewish people. Okay, now we go to chapter 8, verse 18. Now until now, the plagues were plagues that don't necessarily spread into the entire land. Right? I mean, according to some opinions, the frog was one big frog. Right? This humongous, monstrous frog. Verse 16. Okay? Now we mentioned that why is it that God is telling Moshe to meet Pharaoh at the river? Because Pharaoh thinks he's a god, right? And he is trying to conceal the fact that he needs to go to the washroom, because gods don't need to do that. Gods are not a function of natural principles, and therefore when you gotta go, you gotta go. And again, the message is, send my nation and they will serve me, not you, right? I am God, you are not God, and they are the conduit to blessing. So, and if you will not, I will bring wild beasts, right? All kinds of wild beasts. So, verse 18. V'flaiti v'yomahu et eretz Goshen, and I will establish a separation between the land of Goshen, asher ami omed aleya, that my nation sits, levilti ayot sham erov, leman teda ki ani Hashem bekerav ha'aretz. This is a new step, right? Until now, we've been talking about ani Hashem. But now, Ani Hashem Bekerav Ha'aretz, which means I am God in the midst of the earth. Right? In the midst of, this is a whole new level for Pharaoh, a whole new manifestation of divine truth. Now there's, you see, it's very possible this Pharaoh is coming to the point, well, okay, I guess there's another God. Right? Maybe I'm vying for, you know, positions in terms of supremacy and roles in the world. Maybe there's a God in heaven and I'm the God on earth. But now, Ani Hashem Bekerav Ha'aret, this is a whole new understanding, that I am God in the midst of, in the center of the earth. You are not even that God. Okay? And also, that I'm going to establish a distinction, right, between the Jews and you. See, the plagues until now did not miraculously show a distinction between the Jews and Pharaoh, because the plagues were not the kinds of plagues that really necessarily spread all out. Right? So the fact that they didn't make it to Goshen wasn't an amazing thing. But to have now these wild beasts filling the earth or filling the land and not entering into the land of Goshen, the district of the Jews, that's really very strange. That I'm relating to you, and yet the Jewish people are completely immune to this plague. Right? They're on earth, and yet they are somehow transcendent of what's happening on earth. V'samti pedut ben ami uben imecha, and I will create a separation between my nation and you, your nation. L'machar yelta, that tomorrow will be this sign. Now this is the theme that we had expressed before, that now Pharaoh is going to understand that there is a very serious distinction between him and the Jews, and that I am God in earth, right? That my providence, right, reaches to the dimension of even earth, and even the Jewish people on earth will somehow experience a transcendental dimension in the midst of these plagues. And it says that not only did the wild beast not go into Goshen, right, but even if a Jew was walking in the streets of Egypt, a wild beast wouldn't even touch a Jew. Right? Again, an expression of the relation between God and the Jews and his particularized supervision for them in spite of the general thing that's happening in Egypt. Okay? Alright. So what does he say? Verse 21. Pharaoh's response to this is, V'yom eluchu zivchu le'eloheichem ba'aretz. Right? So he says, okay, go offer up, this is verse 21, go offer a offering to your God in the land. He's not willing to accept still. Okay, well, he's gotten to the point, well, okay, now you can serve your God, but you've got to do it here in the land of Egypt, right? Which would imply that you're still within the domain of the Pharaoh Republic, right? Who is the source of blessing, is the source of godliness, right? And notice the word, he's still not willing to say the word Yudkei Vavkei right now. He said it before, and then he changes his mind. He said, Lokeichem. So they answer back, no, we've got to get out of here, right? And so Pharaoh says in 24, V'yomer Pharaoh, Anochi Yishlach Etchem, Uzevachtem LaShem Elokeichem. Right? Okay, fine. You can go. You can serve your Hashem Elokeichem, but I don't want you to go too far, number one. Number two, I want you to pray for me. All right. Moshe goes out and he prays, and again we have in verse 27, V'yas Hashem Kidvar Moshe. Right? God is responding to a human being. And again, chapter 9, God says to Moshe, say to Pharaoh, Ko amar Hashem Elokei Avrim Shalach et Ami V'Avduni. And if you don't let me go, then I will bring a plague on your animals. Now again, there's going to be something new here. That I will make a distinction between your animals and the Jews' animals. Right? Not only did I protect the Jews, right? I'm even going to protect their animals. Right? That's how special they are to me. That's how everything about them exists within the context of our relationship, and therefore will transcend the natural happenings that are happening on earth. Okay? Same thing happens in verse 13, chapter 9, V'avduni, fundamental theme that's going over again. But now I want you to look at chapter 9, verse 14. Because we left off, and you shall know that I am God, b'kerev ha'aretz. Right? That the transcendental, the divine in his transcendent, in his transcendence will be revealed within the context of the physical world. How so? By the Jews transcending what's going on, right? With the wild animals. Okay? Now I'm going to bring a plague to show you, verse 14, Ki pamazot ani shalech et kol magavotai elibcha, uba'avdecha ba'amcha ba'avur teida, so you can know, Ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. Right? So there's two things that have now been clarified to Pharaoh. Number one, Ki Hashem b'kerev ha'aretz. Number two, Ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz. Right? Not only is the transcendence of God being revealed to the Jewish people within the context of the physical world, right, but that there is no one like Yudkei Vavkei, the transcendent. No one. You are nothing, right, in the entirety of the earth. So, we now jump to chapter 9, and this is after the hail, verse 27. Vishlach Paro Vikrala Moshe Laram Vyomir Lem Khatati Hapam Hashem Hatzadik Vani Va Ami Harishaim. Okay? There's a major breakthrough for Pharaoh. Because now Pharaoh is recognizing that what's happening over here is a response to who he is, and that God is a tzaddik, and me and my nation are rishaim. However, look what he says in verse 28. Hatiru el Hashem, pray to Hashem, v'rav mihiyot kolot Elohim. And may there be great voices to Elohim. Ubarad vashlicha etchem velotosifim lamot. And I will send you out and you won't be here. Notice what he does. He uses the two names of God, but not connected. And Moshe responds to that by saying, V'yomer lav Moshe, kitzeti el ha'ir afresh et kapai el Hashem, ha'kolo yechtelum v'barad lo ye'od l'man teda ki Hashem, ki la Hashem ha'aretz. Right, so there's three things that he now knows. Right, ki Hashem b'ker of ha'aretz, ki ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz, ki la Hashem ha'aretz. Okay, each graduating steps in the submission of Pharaoh and his recognition that he's not God. V'atav avdech yadati ki tem tiru mipnei Hashem Elokim. Now, why does Moshe say that? And this is the only place you find in the entire Torah since the Garden of Eden, Hashem Elokim. Okay? Verse 30. Because Pharaoh is now beginning to say, okay, I understand there's some transcendental supreme deity, right? But he still does not recognize the unity of God, and therefore he said Hashem, and then he separated Hashem from Elohim. And Moshe responds, no, I want to show you, right, that I see that you still do not fear Hashem Elohim. Right? You see, because what Pharaoh has to understand is two things. The transcendence of God, Yud-Kei, Vav-Kei, and his imminent presence within the Jewish people, Elohim. Right? And these are the two things he's battling. He's battling divine supremacy and transcendence of himself, and he's battling the appreciation of the Jewish people as the conduit of blessing in the world because they embody the Shekhinah in the world. And these are basically the challenges this Pharaoh has to deal with, which are being demonstrated through these plagues. Right? Creating a holy nation which comes to teach the oneness of God, Hashem Elohim. And it all culminates, and we're skipping, but I want you to see this, in chapter 11, verse 4. And this is the introduction of the plague of the firstborn. V'yomer Moshe ko amar Hashem kechatzot ha'layla ani yotzei betoch Mitzrayim. I, and the old tradition says, I am not an angel. I personally am going to go into Egypt, right? And verse 7, L'kol b'nei Yisrael lo yichretz kelev l'shano l'me'ish, va'ad b'hema l'man teidun asher yifla Hashem b'in Mitzrim u'b'in Yisrael. To show you how I distinguish between the Jews and the Egyptians. So now you have to appreciate the development. Because it's one thing to say, Ani Hashem v'kerev ha'aretz, I am God in the midst of the earth. Then, an ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz, there is no one like me in all of the world. And then to say, L'man teda la'ashem ha'aretz, and you should know that to God is the whole world. Right? These are all various levels of the divine descending into the world and relating himself to the Jewish people. Right? Ein kashem ba'aretz, ein kamoni b'chol ha'aretz, to me is the entire land, and I am personally going to go into Egypt and jump over houses of Jews. Right? That the transcendental divine is personally identifying and relating and supervising the Jews, right? In spite of, right, the natural context of the plagues in Egypt that it's all happening. And this is the greatest expression of Hashem's oneness and the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Okay. So, let's go back, because in this whole process of the introduction of divine supremacy, the divine relating to the Jews, and a transcendental divine descending into the world and identifying completely with the Jews, right, is all then responded to by Pharaoh in his graduating God consciousness. So I'm just going to tell you these psukim, but we don't have to look at them. Pharaoh starts off in chapter 5, verse 2, saying, "Who is God?" Mi Hashem. Then in chapter 8, verse 4, he says, "Go yizbechu laHashem, go offer to Hashem." He has not yet said, "Go serve God," because he still has not given up on that one. Chapter 8, 21, Zevach lelokechem, right? Okay, go serve to your God. It's one thing to say serve the God. Okay, I recognize it's your God. And then in chapter 8, 24, he says, Avakta Lashem Elokim. Do you see that process? I mean, you can look it up yourself. I just want to save time. He starts off with saying, I don't know who Hashem is. Right? He then says, okay, go offer to Yudke Vavke. He then says, okay, go offer to your God, Elokechem. And then he's able to make a step further in chapter 8:24. He says, okay, go offer to Hashem Elokim, Elokechem. Right? Go offer an offering to Yudke Vavke Elokechem. And it's all this is a process of his consciousness coming towards the recognition of God's transcendence, right? Supremacy over Pharaoh, and God's relation to the Jews, and the Jews being the source of blessing in the world expressed in Elohim. Then Pharaoh was ready, chapter 9:27, Chatati Apam Hashem Tzadik Ani Rasha, right? Okay, I'm ready to accept that God, Yudke Vavke, is a tzaddik and I'm an evil person. Right? And yet, he still holds back and he separates between the name Yudke Vavke and Elohim, which is what we showed. Moshe responded. He says, no, I see you still do not recognize the unity of the God. Then in chapter 10, verse 8, Pharaoh is slowly breaking down. And what does he say? Vishavel Moshe ve'et Aaron el Paro v'yomer aleihem l'chu ivdu et Hashem Elokechem. Okay, now I'm ready to accept it's Hashem Elokechem. The transcendental God who is supreme and is over me is your God, relates uniquely to you and responds to you, and you are the source of blessing in the world. Okay, I'm ready to accept that kind of premise. V'yomer aleihem l'chu ivdu et Hashem Elokechem mi'u mi'olchim. But who's going? Right? The Yomer Moshe b'nareinu b'ziknenu melech. What are you talking about? Who's going? Right? We're going with our elders and our youths. Melech b'bneinu b'notenu, with our sons and our daughters. B'tzoneinu b'bkareinu, with our sheep and our cattle. Melech kichag Hashem lanu. Because this is a celebration of God to us. Now what is Pharaoh now bothered by? I mean, Pharaoh has come this far. He first started off saying, I've never heard of Yudke Vavke. Right? He is then willing to accept an offering of the Jewish people to Yudke Vavke, then an offering to Elohim, and then an offering to Yudke Vavke Elokechem. And they say, okay, go give an offering to Yudke Vavke Elokechem, but who's going? He is not able to accept that God's relation to the Jewish people is to every single Yid. Right? Whether it's an elder, whether it's a kid, whether it's a boy, whether it's a girl. And not only is there significance of divine identification with the Jews at all level, but even with their property, right? We're going with our cattle, we're going with our sheep, right? Because everything about us, our entire identity is only within the context of our relationship with God, right? And so this he doesn't understand. So he's ready to say, okay, I guess so. This is a big move for Pharaoh to even recognize this. Okay, I guess there are some holy ones of your nation who have this unique relationship with this transcendental God that imparts divine significance to you. Hashem Elokecha. Okay, fine. Okay, I'm willing to accept that. Right? But it must be just like some of your selected holy ones. Who's going? Right? He can't understand a holy nation. Right? And this again is the process of the creation of what's called a holy nation. The Jewish people believe that every single yid and everything they own, right, is defined only within the context of relationship with God and therefore is endowed with divine significance. And this is a whole new thing that he has to understand. So he's come this far to recognize Hashem Elokeichem. He's come this far to recognize, okay, you can do it outside of my land. But now he wants to know who's going, right? And I say, no, everybody's going. You got it all wrong. Everybody's going. All right. And then he says, no. Said, okay, fine. Then he changes his mind. He says, no. No, the men can go. Vivdu et Hashem. Right? So the men can go. But the women, the kids, everyone else has to stay here. Right? And they say, no. All right. So now, look at chapter 10, verse 16. A whole new level in his consciousness, in Pharaoh's recognition. V'yemeher Pharaoh likro l'Moshe, and Pharaoh quickly called Moshe ul'Aaron, v'yomer chatati la'Hashem Elokeichem v'lechem. I have sinned to God, your God, and to you. This is a whole new realization. Now Pharaoh is beginning to appreciate the divine significance of the Jewish people. And then it wasn't to just God, but it's to you because you are his hosts, right? The Shekhinah is with you, right? And therefore what I did to you is what I did to God is what I did to you, and what I did to you is what I did to God. This is the beginning of his recognition of Hashem Elokim, the transcendence of God, the immanence of God, the transcendence of God, God's supremacy over Pharaoh. And Pharaoh must subdue himself, and the immanence of God within the Jewish people, the divine significance the Jewish people have in the world, right? And this is a whole new level that he now recognizes. Okay, now let's go to chapter 10:24. So now there's the plague of the darkness. Again, we have this mysterious thing happening, that there's darkness in the land except for wherever Jews were. Right? That the Jew is taking on a transcendental quality within the context of the physical world. Okay? V'ikra paro el Moshe v'yomer l'chu ivdu et Hashem rak tzonechim barkarechem yitzu gam tapechem yilech imechem. Now this is his last straw. He says, okay, fine. Right? Go serve God. And notice he's finally saying, ivdu et Hashem. Okay? You go serve God. Until now he's been saying, okay, offerings. But no, you go serve God. Right? But I want you to leave, right, the sheep and the cattle. Before he said, well, who's going? And say, everyone's going. He says, no, just the men. Now he's willing to say, okay, everyone can go. I'm willing to recognize the relation between the Jewish people and God to the entire level, but I cannot accept that your property has godliness too. I can't accept that you're going to take also your tzon. Everything has to go. I don't understand how everything about you could be of such godly significance. And that there could be such a relationship to you and God that even your cattle is important to your God. Right? Anyways, V'yomer Moshe gam atati ten. You know what, Pharaoh? Not only is the totality of ourselves dedicated to the service of God, but even you. Not only are we going to go and serve God with zvachim and olot, which is a complete nullification to God, right? But even you're going to send with us presents of faith to God, right? Which will be the ultimate. V'gam mikneinu yilech imanu, sorry, but even our cattle will go. Lo tishe'er parsa, nothing will stay here. Not one aspect of ourselves, nothing about ourselves exists outside the context of a relationship with God. Nothing. Right? There is absolutely no relation between you and us. Right? and our identity and the totality of being is completely within the context of the relationship with God. So he says, "Ki mimenu nikach lavod et Hashem." Everything about ourselves we will bring to serve God Elokeinu. V'nachnu lo neidam ma navod et Hashem ad bon Hashem. We don't know what we'll need, so we take everything, because everything could be used in service to Hashem, and we'll just see what Hashem wants from us. Okay. Anyways, everybody knows. God then says to Moshe, "You will go, and I will give the Egyptians favor." Right? They will favor the Jewish people, and the Egyptians gave all their silver and their gold to the Jewish people. And all this is a demonstration, the recognition of that you are the conduit with the blessing of the world, right? And everything we have will only be blessed and sanctified through you, right? The major theme of the Bible. That is the Jewish people that will be the light into the other nations, and the Jewish people through you, the world will be blessed. Because I am Hashem Elokeichem, right? And the world derives their relationship to God through the Jewish people. Okay? So, it all ends up in chapter 12, verse 31. I suggest you go over these because these verses are really the key verses that just show you and open up exactly the process of what's going on over here. So, chapter 12, 31, the final scene of Pharaoh. We have God skipping over houses of Jews. Every single individual Jew enjoys a personal, intimate, direct relation with Hashem. And that's what's being manifest over here. Okay? In spite of, right, this is the wonder, in spite of what's going on in the world, the Jews enjoy an existence of transcendence because they live in a direct relation with God, and yet they're on earth, right? The transcendence of God is being revealed in the context of the nature, the natural dimension, okay? And let's start at 29, we'll get a running head start. Okay? V'bechatzi halayla v'ashem yikeh kol b'chor be'eretz Mitzrayim mikhor paro ha'yoshev o'kiso ad b'chor ha'shvi ha'shev b'beit ha'bor v'kol b'chor behema. Everybody, every firstborn, was killed. Vikam paro lailahu, and Pharaoh got up, v'kol avdav v'kol Mitzrayim v'tiyeh tzaka gedola, and everybody got up, and there was a great cry in Egypt, ki ein bayit asher ein sham make, there was no house without a death, a deceased, v'kral l'moshe el aron, and he called to Moshe and Aaron laila. What does that mean, v'kral l'moshe ula aron laila? The Rashi says, al derech pshat, and I'm sure there's a much deeper thing going on here, that Pharaoh didn't even know where Moshe was. So you have to understand that Pharaoh is racing through the streets screaming, "Where are you, Moshe? Where are you, Aaron?" And all this has been a gradual subduing of Pharaoh and his recognition of the position of the Jewish people. V'yomer kumetzu mitochami, please get out from amidst my nation, gam etem, gam b'nei Yisrael, you and also the Israel, ulechu ivdu et Hashem kidvarechem. Go serve God like your words. Now, what does it mean, like your words? So Rashi says, right, and this is his final recognition. What does it mean in that night? So he was going door to door, banging on the door, screaming out, "Is Pharaoh, is Moshe here? Is Aaron here?" And everyone's seeing this great, once great king, whose people thought was a god, running around banging on doors, begging to find this Moshe and Aaron that he once said, "I don't ever see your face again." Gametem, right? Also you, meaning the male. Gam Yisrael, meaning even the children. V'lechu yivdu et Hashem ki dvarechem, and go serve God like your words. Hakol kamosha martim, just like you said. V'lo kamosha marti ani, and not at all like I've been saying. Batel lo ashlach, I am canceling that I will not send them. Batel miu mi olchim, I am reneging on what I said and who will go. Batel ratzonechem, I'm reneging on, you know, just hold back your cattle and your sheep. Gam tzonechem, gam bekirbechem, take everything. Uma kasher dibarta, and what does it mean? And just like you said, gam atati ten v'yadein ezvachim v'olot, and also, just as you said, I too will give, right, sacrifices and offerings to the God.
Okay? So this is the complete downfall of Pharaoh, his complete recognition of the Jewish people in service of, in complete relationship to God, and that he too must give the Jewish people, right, his offering, and they represent him, right, in the relationship with God. Okay? So this is the complete process of redemption. It is being a story of Ani Hashem Elokeichem. I am God, your God. The Jewish people enjoy a direct relationship with God, a personal relationship with God, a relationship which then makes the Jewish people, gives them a quality transcendence within the land, and God the transcendent is revealed in the land, and the slow recognition how Pharaoh is not God, and not only is not God, but he too is going to give the Jewish people as his representatives, right, to go serve the God. Okay? Any question what we did? I just want you to understand stylistically, methodologically, if you really want to understand the Chumash, what you simply have to do is find correlating psukim, right? I mean, if we see the whole time God has been sending Moshe and saying, tell Pharaoh this, then simply look at every single time that God said to Moshe, tell Pharaoh this, see what were the differences in what he was now saying, which will, of course, reflect what's happening over here. And then see, well, we saw that Pharaoh had responded a number of times. Let's see the differences in terms of what was his responses. Because every single sentence is, right, a new step in the manifestation of what this whole story is all about, which is Hashem Elokeichem, I am God, your God, right, the transcendental God, gives divine significance to human beings and relates individually to each Jew. And there's the Jewish people who are the conduit of blessing into the world. And Pharaoh, whose initial intention was to see himself as God, and the Jewish people must serve him, right? He must realize that God is God, and Pharaoh actually has to serve the Jewish people, right? Because they will be the conduit of God's presence on earth.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990 or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.